It's been a bad week.
Hello, I'm Steve Fox.
And I'm Hugh Dennis.
And welcome to It's Been a Bad Week, the Schadenfreude show in which we trawl the airwaves, websites and newspapers of the world for stories of woe and misfortune, and then make that woe and misfortune worse by reading them out on the radio.
And then really rub it in by talking about them and choosing the very worst week as winner of our regular Worst Week of the Week award, awarded weekly on a week-by-week basis.
With us on our quest we have, as ever, a man who is resisting moves to charge a special additional license fee just to hear his songs, Mervyn Stutter, the actress who set up the controversial Ancona channel, Ronnie Ancona.
Bad week, Ronnie?
Oh, yeah, terrible, because I...
Yeah, thanks. Carry on, Steve.
And a man whose vocal cords are only possible because of the unique way in which he is funded, Mr. John Culshaw, Mervyn, Ronnie and John!
Now, John, of course, is very excited about the imminent return of It's a Knockout to our screens. In a bad week for quality broadcasting, Channel 5 has signed up Frank Bruno to take on the old Stuart Hall role in proceedings. If you want to know how to tell the old and new versions apart, the old one sounded like this. And the new one will sound like this. But in both cases, the audience will sound like this.
It's a bit harsh.
It's a bit harsh,
but it's possibly fair. It's quite strange casting anyway. I mean, what Frank Bruno knows about knockouts, I have no idea. Anyway, as ever, to judge the winner of the Worst Week in the World Award, we have a guest judge, a comedian and broadcaster who, when she came on the last series, actually chose herself as having had the worst week in the world. Well, trusting that things aren't quite so bad now, please welcome Linda Smith.
So, Linda, have you had a bad week this time?
No, I've had a fantastic week, thank you, Hugh. Yeah,
well
really
done.
Brilliant week. Couldn't be better, really. Because, apparently, out of thousands and thousands of people, I have been chosen to go through to the Reader's Digest massive worldwide prize tour. No, shut up, because it is fantastic. No, really, out of thousands, I couldn't believe it. Like, out of thousands of people, me, I am the one, I've been chosen.
Linda,
and it's fantastic.
I'm so jealous, I can't believe you've done that.
I know, and I will definitely win a cash prize. You know, in theory, it could be as little as a pound, but that is so unlikely, you know. I am going to be wedged up and buy my house, because I won't need this trash anymore. I don't see what can possibly go wrong.
No, that's great. So you definitely can't rule yourself in this time.
No,
round.
I'm well out of it. I'm living large from now on, mate.
Oh, right, well. Right, let's move on. So our first batch of candidates for the world's worst week. And where better to start than with Connex Trains? Anyone get here by Connex Trains? Oh, no, sorry, I forgot. You're here.
That's Connex, of course, the commuter rail service, especially designed for people with piles. You don't get to sit down. And why bad? Because in the last 7 months, 22 of their trains have come apart whilst in use, leaving carriages trundling along on their own and grinding to a halt. Although, to be fair, the ones that are still attached to the engine quite often do the same thing. Connex apologised for the dodgy couplings, saying that the,
Excuse me, dodgy couplings? There's a joke in there somewhere.
Not worth doing.
No, sorry. No.
Connex apologised for the fact that the carriages had become uncoupled, but they wanted their rolling stock to reflect the mental state of their regular passengers. No, thank you. Actually, they blamed the problem on old trains that inherited from British Rail, to which the answer of everyone here would be...
Buy some new ones.
That was easy, wasn't it? We're that close to satire, you know, sometimes.
Now, actually, I have nothing against the privatised rail companies, in spite of the fact that we have recently been sent this recording of the Connex chairman's pay packet being placed on a table.
Yes, it's been a pasty, it's been Pavarotti, and this week it's a pay packet. We are on a limited budget.
Yes, indeed. Now, it's been a bad week for my sanity, because the Evening Standard on Tuesday contained this story.
The best facial hair in the world is converging on Sweden to compete in the Beard World Cup this week.
The Beard World Cup. Ladies and gentlemen, as if there wasn't enough trouble in the world already, we now have a Beard World Cup. The piece goes on.
Categories for medals include Dolly Beard, Freestyle Full Beard, and Royal Moustache.
Freestyle Full Beard. What is that when it's at home? Over to David Coleman.
Welcome to the final of the men's freestyle beard. The women's event yesterday produced an exciting result and an even more exciting steroid test result. Let's look at the finalists in lane one. Tony Kennett, he's a folk singer from Rhyl. Very impressive beard there. He's Welsh champion and record holder. In lane two, Magnus Schmidt, a university lecturer from Stuttgart. He uses his beard as a record holder. And in lane three, Eric Bloodaxe, ruler of the Vikings, had a huge orange beard there. I say, remarkable. Former Olympic champion at 400 metres, although it's only 100 since he had it trimmed. And in lane four, Noel Edmonds. He's here because he hasn't got anything else to do at the moment.
The terrible thing is that the Beard World Cup is going to be at the heart of the BBC sports lineup for next year. Now, kind of staying with sport.
Yes, sort of. Sort of staying with sport eventually. It was a bad week for Mr. John Imsley from Shropshire. He was driving his yellow, remember that yellow, Alfa Romeo on the M5 in Devon, and he got pulled over for speeding. And when he asked the police why they had singled him out of a line of cars that were all travelling at the same speed, the police told him that they were playing motorway snooker.
That's a good idea.
Where the patrolmen, to stop themselves getting bored, they have to book cars in the same order of colours as in snooker in order to score points.
Yeah, that's what they do. Is that how they decide who to stop in a whole, you know, if you've got a whole lane going at 70?
That is what they do. They have to book 15 red cars, right, with different colours in between, and then they have to get them in order. And obviously yellow, if you're driving a yellow car, I mean, that's quite unusual, isn't it? You know, I mean, that's asking for it.
Yeah, and pink, I suppose. Lady Penelope must have been stopped all the time. Half is not only made of plastic, he's got 40 points on his licence.
Yeah. Now, the Devon police are denying that their officer ever mentioned snooker to Mr. Emsley. That's likely. He's bound to have made that up. And in any case, we actually think he is right, because we've obtained this recording of a two-way conversation between Devon police and their radio controller.
Come in, Foxtrot Tango, proceed to suspected accident on AE38, over.
Control, this is Foxtrot Tango. Looks like the white cannoned into the green. Came off the barrier. Knocked through two reds and left the black snooker behind the yellow.
Foxtrot Tango, can confirm that gives you 63 points.
Moving on, bad week for Jerry Springer, because it's been announced that one of his guests when he comes to Britain will be the charismatic Glenda Jackson. Interesting. Now, because I stayed up late to watch Women in Love on the telly in the 70s, Glenda Jackson is the only cabinet minister whose naked breasts I've seen. Which is a shame, because I reckon John Prescott's got a nice pair. Don't you? You just see the outline of them.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Women in Love, because it's one of those films where you only have to change just one letter of the title and it becomes a completely different film. Women in Hove. In this particular instance.
Did you think about that for quite a long time?
I thought about that for quite a long time.
With Shakespeare in Hove.
Hove is a many splendid thing.
The Spy Who Hoved Me.
That's right. Now, it is now incumbent upon us to choose the first finalist from that batch of stories. Linda, which one of those do you think was the worst week?
Oh, the worst week. Well, I'm tempted to say the motorway snooker one, partly because I'm just very attracted to a fun version of snooker that doesn't involve Jim Davidson.
Right, okay.
Okay, motorway snooker.
Motorists in Devon go through as our first finalists for the worst week in the world. And before we get on to the next batch, Linda, we wondered whether you had brought a bad week story of your own that you'd spotted this week.
One story is this Belgian bloke who decided that what he was going to do was set off for the year 2000 Olympic Games in Sydney, Australia, by horse and carriage from Belgium. And, you know, he had quite a good go at it, but was forced to give up in Hungary after he parked up and had his wheels nicked. Isn't that terrible? You know, so near and yet so far, because really, he only had to get through Romania, Bulgaria, Turkey, Iran, Afghanistan, China, and the entire Pacific Ocean. And he was there. It's a choke for that, isn't it? Yeah. You'd rather miss it by miles, really, wouldn't you?
That's very sad. Yeah. That's quite a bad
Of course, the horse might have had something to say once they got to the ocean, actually. You know the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him swim across 7,000 shark infested miles.
Thank you for that, Linda. Let's move on now to our next batch of bad weeks. Maintenant, mesdames et messieurs, les semaines de merde internationales. Monsieur U.
Why, thank you. Yes, it's been a bad week for French pigs. Why? Well, slightly obscure, isn't it? Well, which of the following have been found in French pig feed?
Untreated sewage, septic tank residue, effluent from animal carcasses, water used for washing lorries, and engine oil.
Engine oil?
Yeah, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? The answer is, in fact, all of them. They've all been found in French pig feed, which is disgusting. The French, who banned our beef for no better reason than it could give you a debilitating brain disease. No better reason than that. Have been feeding their pigs Duckham's multigrate, turtle wax, and a selection of discarded Q-tips and silk cut, and they're only the nice bits, right? Now, not surprisingly, this has caused a bit of a public health scare in Europe, and the authorities are currently trying to tighten the hygiene regulations. But, Steve, if you're buying bacon this week, may I recommend smoked back from a pig which has eaten over 400 fag ends?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am expecting, and I'm confidently hoping, for a very politically incorrect reaction when I say it's been a bad week for the Germans!
Yay!
We might get that. I thought we might get that, yes. We're just redressing the balance, of course. The Germans are the only nationality on Earth who have never been insulted by Prince Philip. Well, you can't have a go at the in-laws, can you? Come on. Anyway, it's been a bad week for our cousins across the North Sea. The German Red Cross has signed up a new figurehead to publicise their campaign for blood donors. Now, guess who?
Guess Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I'll be back, skiing over my dog.
No, it's not him. Not Arnie. Any ideas, Linda?
Jeff Hurst?
it's a good thought. It's a plan. No, it's not Jeff Hurst.
It's never Dracula, is it?
Do you know, Linda, Dracula is the correct answer. Yes, he responded to the audience member who went, no, in an incredulous tone. Yes, to promote their campaign for blood donors, the Germans have signed up Dracula. Or, in fact, to be strictly honest, the only surviving descendant of Count Dracula, to which a Mr. Otomar Rudolf Vlad Dracul Prince Kretelesko as their official Give Blood spokesman. He has agreed to help the Red Cross, as long as they don't hold it up in front of him, obviously. after he heard a radio appeal. And frankly, why not?
Hello. I want to speak to you about something very important. Virgins! I must have virgins!
Cut. Otto, no, that was great. Really great. But the thing is, we'll just go again. Because the only thing is, the client wants the word donors. Okay? Donors.
Right. Donors,
yeah.
Of course. Right.
Yeah, that's right, donors. Part of our agreed six-month strategy, if we're going to achieve our target. Okay? Take two.
Hello. My name is Otto. Every day our hospitals need blood for life-saving operations, for accident victims, and for those who are suspended in an undead state, vampires who crave the nourishment of human essence. Give me virgins,
virgins. Otto, cut. It was going really well. All right. You did the hospital bits really super. You know, I love that. The only thing is, you did say virgins again. Yeah? Take three.
Hello, my name is Otto. Have you ever thought about giving blood? A qualified doctor will simply insert a small tube into your arm, and then his two razor-pointed fangs shall pierce your skin. Give me margins!
No, Otto, sorry. Please try and get it right, or I'll get it in the...
Please don't say neck! Thank you. Thank you very much. You've been saved from the punchline from beyond the grave. Now, moving on, it's been a bad week for Planet Hollywood, the hot restaurant chain backed by a bunch of movie celebs like Demi Moore, Bruce Willis, and of course...
I'll be back, being over my dog.
Yes, big Arnie.
I'll be back.
Yes.
Being over my dog.
Big Arnie's business acumen... despite the fact that he's become a catchphrase on this show...
Over my dog.
Big Arnie's...
I will be back.
Big Arnie's business acumen has let him down because Planet Hollywood restaurants have gone into receivership in America because they're losing so much money. Big Arnie, of course, has issued a press statement...
I'll be back. In a more profitable venture in future.
There's only two shows left. Yeah. Those two.
I can say it a few times in that, though. Anyway, moving on. Bad week for nuns. You have to prepare yourself for this, but it's from the Times, so it's a reputable source. And why has it been a bad week for them? Well, just listen to the start of the article.
Hormones from the urine of menopausal Italian nuns have been injected into British cows in a controversial practice aimed at producing genetically superior cattle.
It's fairly self-explanatory, yeah. Isn't it?
What happens is this, apparently. The urine is full of gonadotrophin. Is that the right way to pronounce it? I have no idea. Which stimulates the cows to produce several eggs instead of one.
I'm sure this is dangerous, you know. I'm sure this interfering with nature is dangerous. I mean, you wait. In 10 years' time, we're going to have herds of cows that play the guitar in times of crisis.
I'm worried about menopausal nun disease. But anyway, the best bit... The best bit is the reason given by the company for using nuns' urine. Quote, it's not because they lead chaste and pure lives, but because convents offer a convenient method of collecting large enough quantities. All together. I can't just say, the nuns of Navarone.
You can say that.
You can say that, but only if I can say nun smoke. Or indeed, top nun.
Top nun.
With Jeremy Clarkson.
The man with the golden nun.
Okay, Linda, we've got to choose one of those now as our second finalist to go through with Devon Motorists and Bulgarian, no, Belgian driving cart man. So which of that second lot?
I learn English. Bulgarian, Belgian driving cart man. Wait, I hear horses.
He's
50, maybe 60. You keep them carrying on.
Babbling mania. And choose a second finalist from that batch.
There are a tricky one. There's some close ones there. And the nun story really is taking the thing, isn't it?
Exactly. I'm glad you did that, Jake, because we did.
Yeah, we resisted.
Someone's got to do it.
Exactly.
It's a dirty job. I think the French pigs, really, with all the motor oil and stuff, because if you are what you eat, then they're a Renault Espace that hasn't been bound for about 6 months. So I think it's going to be the French pig.
Okay, so peace go through as our second finalist. But now, Tony Blair's been on holiday this week, so he's probably had quite a good time. But there are bad times ahead for him, particularly from the countryside lobby, who object to his proposed ban on fox hunting. So sitting in the saddle with his satirical hunting horn at the ready is a man who kens John Peel, and he's fairly intimate with Anne Freeman. Mervyn Stutter.
Well, he's got a ban fox hunting, so we're throwing things at Blair. At Tuscany on his holidays, we'll throw things at him there. At Bournemouth at the party conference, we'll throw things at him there. We'll demonstrate outside Westminster, and we'll throw things at him there. Then we'll be marching down the street, on the right-hand side of the road. Ah, yes, just because you're angry. You don't forget your highway code, do you? My chauffeur drives me up on Friday. I take a room at the Savoy. I have breakfast and jacuzzi with a delightful stable boy. Then we go, oi, 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 to hell with you yogurt. weavers. Oi, 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 let's kill furry things with cleavers, eh? I got blooded on the hunting grounds and showed it my sister with the master of the hounds, and I've been having her ever since, but it never did me any harm, now did it? Oh, 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 oh.
Thank you very much, Mervyn, and on to our next bunch of bad weeks. And after Mervyn's dalliance with politics, ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to a story with
no satirical content at all.
Yes, that's our new jingle. Let's hear it.
No satirical content at all.
A mission statement for this show, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a very bad week for 8-year-old Mitchell Richardson of Milton Keynes for two reasons. First, because he's had his packed lunch confiscated by his teacher. And secondly, because of what was in his packed lunch in the first place. Now,
can I just say, before you say anything, fridge on the River Kwai.
only Steve, if I can say, the fridges of Madison County. Featuring Lloyd Fridges, both fridges and
do you know what I think? I think that was a fridge too far.
Come on, what are we talking about? Packed lunches.
Well, I always got stuff like, you know, Kit Kat and a bag of crisps and an apple, but Mitchell's mum didn't give him that. No, Mitchell's mother thought the ideal lunchtime snack was a baby octopus. nutritious, tasty, bit of a problem if you don't like leg. But the teachers told little Mitchell that the snack was disgusting and frightening the other children. That's fantastic, isn't it? A packed lunch that frightens other children. Oh, I'd love that. So anyway, they confiscated it and they're using it as an inkwell.
Now, bad news for ardent bowls player Mr. Dennis Shipman.
Careful how you say
I'm
that.
I'm sorry about that. Okay. Mr. Shipman was taking part in a bowls competition in Long Eaton in Derbyshire, and he got to a tense moment in the quarterfinal. He was leading by one point. He'd just played a shot when the obvious happened. His artificial leg fell off onto the grass. The metal pin in the top had snapped, so he asked his opponent if he could run him home.
Hop him home. Hop him
to
home.
Get another one.
Yeah. Another leg. The home leg.
Obviously. Hi, thank you. He went on to win the match, but what interests me is how the leg fell onto the grass in the first place. If he was wearing trousers, how could his leg fall onto the grass?
Well, right? Very baggy trousers, shorts. Could have been playing bowls in the nude, couldn't he?
Dangerous.
Very dangerous.
You know the rules of bowls? Who can get closest to the wood? Now, it's been a very bad week for a cockatiel. Can't we just call it a cockatoo? I don't think many people know the difference, do they?
Well,
I don't know.
Well, cockatiel is an alcoholic drink made from parrots.
Ah, of course it is, sorry. I beg your pardon. Thank you, Mr. Attenborough.
You're welcome.
Anyway, basically, it's one of those birds that can talk, right?
Yeah.
And a stray one was found on the Isle of Sheppey in Kent, and it was handed into the RSPCA, but there is one problem.
Just the one?
Yep. It speaks with a Welsh accent. Angela Walder of the RSPCA is quoted in the Times.
It's talking away, but I can't understand a word.
Which means it's either Welsh or it's Brian Sewell.
I fail to find that very amusing. I wholeheartedly disapprove of the penchant of modern humanists to make such ribaldry a staple of their repertoire. My accent is the product of breeding. A ridiculous degree of breeding. In fact, it's breeding ridiculous.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you, Brian. We'll do the joke. Thank you. Anyway, the RSPCA say that they do know for certain that the cockatiel is Welsh. They put it in a cage with two other cockatiels and they tried to form a choir. Now, Linda, we've got to choose one of those stories to go through to be our third finalist.
Well, I'm quite impressed with the kid with the octopus lunch, really, because most kids, you can't get them to eat salad, can you? So octopus is pretty adventurous.
Yeah.
But I think my sympathy has to go out for the bowls player whose leg hit the green, because he must have caught hell from the greensman. They don't even like the wrong shoes on the green. So he's my candidate.
Yes, keep limbs off the turf.
Yeah.
Right, so one-legged bowler.
Excellent, so he goes through
to be the third finalist. Now, as ever, we have some bad weeks that our audience here at Ronnie Scott's have filled in for us. And we're just going to chuck a few of these at Linda, see if any of these are worthy finalists. I've got one here from Julian, and it says, I borrowed some toilet paper from a friend, but was accosted on my way home by a policeman who demanded to know what I was going to do with it. You see, you think the Devon police are stupid, but this... You got any more?
Yes, well, this very bizarre. Yes, from someone called Mary. Right, not a torturer about this. I've had a bad week because I've been stuck at work until 6 p.m. every night this week. What time do you normally stop work? 6 p.m. It's outrageous.
Well, it's an outrage. One of us should get on the blower to Amnesty International. Yeah.
That's all I've got, actually.
Right, so any of those suitable, worthy contenders, or are we going to stick with
them? I think the man with the policeman asking him what he was going to do with that toilet stationery.
That suspicious piece of loo paper.
Yeah. Right, so we have a load of finalists now. We've got the Devon motorists and the snooker. We've got the French pigs forced to eat engine oil. We've got the man whose leg fell off playing bowls. And we've got poor old Julian and his suspicious toilet paper. So now it's decision time. Linda Smith, which of those is the worst week in the world this week?
Oh, blimey. Well, I'm going to have to rule out the French pigs now, I think, because on reflection, French people eat more or less anything, so why should the pigs be any different? I think I've got to go with the bowls man there, with because that must have put him right off his game. Leg
so,
falling off.
Falling off, leg bowls man, me no speak English, is this week's winner! Well, we're out of time. Our thanks to Linda Smith. Goodbye!
Goodbye!
You have been listening to It's Been a Bad Week with Steve Crump, Hugh Dennis, Ronnie Ancona, John Colster, Mervyn Sutter, and special guest Linda Smith. It was written by Steve Crump, Hugh Dennis, Steve Knight, Mike Whitehill, Sue Morris, and Steve Cochran. The broadcast assistant was Trudy Stevens, the producer Neil Rossap, and the executive producer Dirk Maggs. It's Been a Bad Week is a Stellador production for BBC Radio 2.